Title: Headroom for Mastering with Clean Routing Advanced. All right, let's build a headroom safe, pro-style routing system in Ableton Live for drum and bass. This is advanced, but it's the kind of setup that makes your mixes way more predictable. Your drums hit harder, your sub stays clearer, and your pre-master consistently lands with actual mastering headroom instead of "I hope it doesn't clip." Big idea up front. Indeed NB, mixes get loud fast. Stacked breaks, heavy bass layers, and aggressive processing can chew through headroom without you noticing. So we're going to make headroom a system, not a vibe. Here's the target. For most DNB pre-master workflows, a really solid goal is about -6 dBFS peak on your pre-master. Loudness can vary depending on the style, but if your drop is living somewhere around -16 to -10 LUFS short term, you're in a workable zone. The important rule is this: if you're fixing balance, tone, punch, or sub, you fix it before the pre-master. The pre-master is not where you rescue a messy mix. It's where you gently hold it together and guarantee it exports clean. Now the key move: we're going to separate mix output from master monitoring. Step 1. Create a new audio track. Name it Pre-Master, all caps, make it obvious. This track is going to be your real mix bus. Then set the Pre-Master track monitoring to in, so it always passes audio. And then set Pre-Master audio to master, so the master track becomes your clean viewing window and monitoring lane. The Pre-Master becomes the place where your mix actually sums and gets the lightest possible control. One warning: do not set Pre-Master input to resampling unless you really know why you're doing it. Resampling can pull in things you didn't intend. The clean way is explicit routing. You decide what goes to Pre-Master. No surprises. Cool. Next, we're going to build a simple console layout. Create three group buses: drums bus, bass bus, and music bus. Drums includes kick, snare, breaks, tops, rides, percussion. Bass includes sub and mid bass or res. Music includes pads, atmos, vocals, FX, ear candy, the stuff that isn't the core rhythm section. Now route each of those buses to Pre-Master. In each group track, set audio to Pre-Master. Then do the most important audit in the entire session. Make sure nothing goes directly to the master. The only thing that should feed the master is Pre-Master. This alone prevents so many problems. It means your master meter becomes meaningful. It means your export path is consistent. And it makes stem printing clean, because your structure is logical. Quick workflow tip: color code. Drums warm colors, bass purple, music blue, Pre-Master white. It sounds silly, but it speeds up decisions and reduces mistakes. Now we gain stage. This is where advanced producers stop fighting their mix and start driving it. Here's the approach: keep your faders at zero early and trim with utility. So on every important track, especially kick, snare, break, sub, res, and even your group buses, drop a utility as the first device. First device, not after EQ, not after saturation. First, and you use utility gain as your trim control. Why? Because it keeps your fader resolution nice and it makes your processing behave consistently. Compressors and saturators respond differently when you slam them with random input levels. Utility makes your input level intentional. Some practical anchor points: kick and snare peaks often land around -10 to -6 dBFS on the track meter, depending on the sample and transient shape. Sub might peak around -12 to -8. Breaks are the sneaky ones. They can spike hard even if they don't sound that loud. So watch them. Then watch buses, not just tracks. Solo your drums bus. You're aiming for something like -8 to -6 dBFS peaks on the drum bus, give or take. Solo the bass bus. Similar ballpark, but watch sustained energy. It's not just peaks. Bass can pin your level over time. Then listen to the full mix going into Pre-Master and aim for Pre-Master peaks that are roughly -8 to -6 before any final trim. We're building a stable gain structure. Now, the Pre-Master chain. Talk Ableton, clean, honest. First device, EQ8. Tiny corrective moves only. This is not where you sculpt the entire track. Put a high pass around 20 to 30 Hz. Choose 12 or 24 dB per octave. That removes rumble and DC-ish nonsense that steals headroom but doesn't translate musically. If you've got a nasty low mid buildup, maybe a tiny dip, but keep it subtle. Second, glue compressor. Very light. Think knit, not smash. Attack around 10 milliseconds. Release on auto or around 0.3 seconds. Ratio 2 to 1. Set threshold so in the drop you see about 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction. And keep soft clip off for now. We want this chain to tell the truth. Third, utility, This is your final trim to hit the headroom target. Use utility gains so that your premaster peaks land around -6 dBFS. Fourth, limiter as safety only, ceiling at -1.0 dB, and set the threshold so it only catches accidents. If it's doing more than about 1 dB of gain reduction regularly, your mix is too hot upstream. Don't solve it with the limiter. Fix the drums, fix the bass, fix the arrangement, fix the parallel returns. Now let's talk about the place where DNB headroom usually dies. Drums. On your drums bus, you want punch without destroying peaks. A glue compressor here can be perfect. Try a tack between 3 and 10 milliseconds so the transient still pops. Release 0.1 to 0.3 seconds, ratio 2 to 1 or 4 to 1. Aim for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on peaks. Then, optionally, drum bus. But be careful. Drum bus can quietly inflate your low end, especially with boom. Drive gently, and if you add boom, keep it subtle or off if you already have a sub that's doing the real weight. Use the transients control to get snap without just turning the whole bus up. And very important, output gain match. When you bypass drum bus, the level should feel similar. If bypass suddenly sounds quieter and worse, you've just been fooled by loudness. And here's teacher commentary that saves hours. Sometimes your headroom problem is arrangement, not mixing. If your kick, snare, full break, and ride loop all hit on the same transient every bar, you're going to fight peaks forever. Micro arrange. Pull hats down on the snare hit for a split second. Remove a ride layer. Use ghost notes instead of constant stacking. The drop feels bigger when there's contrast. Now bass. We want sub clean, controlled, and mono. And we want mid bass to carry aggression without needing insane level. Bullet bass into sub and mid bass or reese. On sub, EQ8 to remove rumble below 20 to 30 Hz and low pass around 80 to 120 Hz depending on your sound. Then utility width at 0%, mono, always. Then optionally a tiny bit of saturator, like soft sign or analog clip, 1 to 3 dB drive, then level match the output. The goal is slight harmonic support and peak shaving, not audible fuzz. On mid bass, high pass around 80 to 120 Hz so it doesn't compete with sub. Add saturation or overdrive to generate harmonics so it feels loud on smaller speakers without needing more fundamental energy. If you add stereo width, do it above the low end. Chorus ensemble is fine sparingly, but don't smear the low band. Width in the wrong place equals limiter wobble later. Route sub and mid to bass bus, then bass bus to premaster. Now parallel processing, because this is where people accidentally destroy headroom while thinking they're being pro. Use return tracks for parallel. For example, return A, drum parallel. Return B, bass parallel. Keep return faders low. Gain match. And here's the routing gotcha. Check that your return tracks are also going to premaster, not directly to master. Depending on your live version and settings, returns can end up routing in ways you don't expect. Do a quick audit. Every audio path, including reverbs and delays, should end up at premaster. A classic drum parallel chain, glue compressor set brutal, like 10 to 1 ratio, super fast attack around 0.3 to 1 millisecond, release around 0.1 seconds, and threshold so it's grabbing 10 dB or more. Then saturator for grit. Then EQ8 with a high pass at around 100 Hz so the parallel doesn't inflate your sub headroom. Maybe a little presence in the 3 to 7 kHz zone if you want more snap. Then a utility at the end to trim output so it's controllable. Then you send your drums bus to that return quietly, somewhere around -20 to -10 dB send level, and blend until you feel density and crunch, without the low end getting bigger. And one more advanced caution. Parallel chains can introduce phase or latency issues if you use heavy look-ahead, linear phase EQ, or oversampling devices. If your parallel makes the drums feel hollow, weirdly comb-filtered, or smaller, test it. Duplicate a source, invert phase on one copy with utility, and see if things null when they should. Keep parallel smash chains simple and low latency. Now, master track philosophy. The master is for monitoring, not mixing. On master, you can put spectrum for visual checks. Maybe a mono utility toggle for quick mono compatibility tests. And optionally, a loudness preview limiter for client loud. But it must be the monitoring tool you can toggle off instantly, and it must be off when you export a premaster. If you want to get really slick, make two monitoring paths, clean monitor and loud preview. Same mix, different listening mode. Just never confuse the two. Now let's add a couple extra coach moves that separate advanced sessions from chaotic ones. First, true headroom. Ableton's meters are mostly sample peak. In the real world, intersample peaks can bite later, especially after conversion or encoding. If you have a third-party true peak meter, put it on the master. If you don't, stay conservative. Keep pre-master peaks around -6 and don't rely on last stage clipping. Second, don't let bus compressors double react. If your drum's bus glue is doing 3 dB and your pre-master glue is also doing 2 dB, you may get pumping you didn't intend. Choose a philosophy. Either you control punch on the buses and keep pre-master glue barely moving, or you keep buses more dynamic and let pre-master glue do the knit. You can do both, but only if you're doing it on purpose for a specific sound. Third, calibration tone. This is nerdy, but it's powerful. Make an operator sign at 1 kHz, set it to a standardized level like -18 dBFS RMS, route it to pre-master, and use it to sanity check that your utility trims and monitoring loudness feel consistent across projects. When your monitoring is consistent, your headroom decisions get consistent. Now exporting. For a pre-master to send to mastering, exporting from master is fine only if master is clean and pre-master feeds it. Make sure your loudness preview limiter is off. Peaks around -6. Export 24-bit WAV at the project sample rate. No normalization. For stems, export drums bus, bass bus, music bus, and maybe FX if needed. Keep the same headroom philosophy. Don't normalize stems. The whole point is that stems sum back to your pre-master predictably. Now, mini practice exercise. This is where you lock it in. Build a 32-bar rolling D-den B drop. Create tracks for kick, snare, break, hats, sub, res, atmos, and effects. Group into drums, bass, music. Route all groups to pre-master. Pre-master to master. Put utility first on each key track. Keep faders at zero and balance until pre-master peaks around -10 dBFS. Then add glue on drums bus for 1 to 3 dB reduction. Make the sub mono with utility width at zero. Add light glue on pre-master for 1 to 2 dB reduction, then use pre-master utility to land peaks at about -6, and the safety limiter catching at most 1 dB on accidents. And for the advanced homework vibe, print 16 bars of your loudest drop to a print track, audio from pre-master, monitor off, record it. /B the printed audio versus live playback and listen for overs, weird tonal shifts, or unexpected clipping behavior. This audio version is shortened for playback.